told the plug I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. Told the plug I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 pairs. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I'm in Cali every week. I go hard. Bro, I say he got sour. Need that whole yard. Take some turkey back.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/NewHavenIndependent or go to your Facebook page and look us up. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
How's it going, Joe?
Oh, it's good. Hello. On a Monday after Thanksgiving.
Hey, Kibra.
Kibra, how are you? It's nice to have you in the studio.
Nice to be here.
You look beautiful. Your hair looks
Thank you. Beautiful. My hair is popping.
Yeah.
Pop. Now, are you heading up to Hartford after this? Are you staying in this area?
No, I have Naomi covering Hartford for me today.
Okay, that's
shout
good.
Out to Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi holding it down.
Yeah,
she is awesome.
You're a busy girl, so it's
she is awesome down. Because you have a great team over there, and she's been with you from the very jump.
Yep.
And she is awesome. Oh, that's Harry. I got Harry on the IG.
Uh-oh.
Harry's fixing the mic for Kibra.
Oh, why? So it's not right in front of my face. So
oh, that's why Harry gets the big bucks.
All right, everybody. So how was your Thanksgivings? All good?
Oh, yes, sir.
Did you have medicated meals or just regular ones?
So, because I do the food, I just choose to medicate the gravy. So I medicate a gravy for myself.
I would be slapping gravy on
everything. So I make a small medicated gravy for myself, and I use polenta as the thickener instead of corn flour.
Right.
I mean, wheat flour. White flour. So I'll use like arena, which is it's not as thick of a consistency, and it thickens the gravy very similarly.
Nice.
And I then medicate it from there. And
is this the recipe we're going to be teaching people on December the 8th or what? Gravy there.
Yeah,
all purpose gravy goes on anything. Right?
It goes on everything. I had gravy on everything,
on the broccoli, everything, right? Why not?
I literally just go like that.
Why not?
Then the rest of the food's not medicated. So.
Right. I usually save mine till the dessert. Usually have a nice little medicated dessert on Thanksgiving.
I had none of that.
You had none?
No medicated?
No, I was at my mother's house. Oh. I was not a consumer
of
THC, but she is a CBD consumer.
Yes.
I have her taking a tincture and using salves and stuff. But
I'm sure you had something for yourself.
You had a walk with your cousin, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, the old cousin walk.
cousin to walk with.
No.
I did fortunately hold on to a little something that I was able to go out to the car and
take care.
This is a problem for patients, too, because I was over my limit for the first time ever in the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
I couldn't believe
Gangster.
It.
Gangster.
I couldn't even. I was like, what you mean? I can't get no more.
At the
dispensary. Yeah.
And you have a couple more days still to go.
No, it was over on the 24th.
You got different. Yeah, right. Okay.
No, I get you.
It just happened to fall.
That happens to me every month. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my
month.
God. It's the first time ever.
Every month.
But you know what I did this month? I bought vape.
Ooh,
I was trying
a lot. It takes a lot out the surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's expensive. You're a baller.
Where they at?
Look at you.
Nah, I don't even know where they at.
I saw some really awesome products at the dispensary lately.
Oh yeah.
But like they're just expensive.
Have you seen the new pod system?
It's a great pod system. It really is in practice.
Oh wait,
and
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
so
they're using
the PAX era. So PAX is a national brand.
Yeah.
Dispensaries and
I think it's just AGL does it.
just AGO in Connecticut, but nationally, it's in every state. You know, that's why it's a national.
Well, of course, we go last. You know,
yeah. Well, we're not last. There's still 22 other states
that don't have the packs.
Exactly. So as that kind of keeps going, that packs, what they did was they just sold. They sold that brand to AGL so that they can make their pods.
The pod for it, yeah. So they license it.
Exactly. So they license themselves out at an expensive high-end rate.
$75
For half pod. Gram cup. Oh, wow.
Per pod?
Per pod.
Yeah, then you got to buy the little battery, too.
That's ridiculous.
So you can buy the starter set for $90, and yeah, that's, so they you give know, you the and they give battery. You the battery, one free battery. You know, you got to start you off with a taste. Big Pharma's the biggest one out of all of them.
They probably got an investment in packs.
They got a huge money now. Well, they become a licensed provider for packs.
Sure.
And they get a good percentage. They probably
get ready for rec.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely getting ready for rec because these are products we see in rec states all the time.
Oh, yeah.
The Juul Pod. And then even things like...
when you said pod, I thought you were talking about like the Canacorp. Those kind of pods.
No, they're not doing very well. No, I think the vape thing is going to take it over.
Yeah, it's because, you know, well, people those canapods, a Topstone can kind of replace that ultimately. You know what I mean? That tabletop model.
I mean, I do like the idea of, you know, putting a K-cup in my Keurig and a cannabis pod in my can. That would have been nice to have it side by side, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, but back to Thanksgiving. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
We went off on a tangent.
No, I stayed home this year, so I got to spend time with family and friends, and, you know, I started very early with the medication, because that was one of the main reasons I didn't want to drive, is because I kind of wanted to enjoy myself.
Yeah,
I drive,
just enjoy yourself.
I drive around the world.
You're always on the go. Stay home, and plus, you don't want to be on the road with all that.
No, I just came back from Ohio. It was like a whole,
Now, speaking of being on the road.
Yes.
On the road, we know that last Tuesday, Massachusetts started their recreational sales.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I have not been up there yet. Have you been up there yet?
So, I have been up to Massachusetts since recreational sales have started.
Okay.
And we went up late Wednesday.
Wednesday. So, the day after. The second day.
The second day. And that was because we saw the lines. We saw everything going on.
Well, and, when you'll see, I'm going to tell you a little bit how much money they made on that.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 100 of it was mine.
One day, no, the first day only.
100 of it was mine, and then 100 of it was my business partner, Ashley, from Present Naturals.
Right, who was here last week
with
us.
So he's a big CBD guy, and he wanted to partake in Massachusetts recreational marketplace. So we went up, and we got an eighth apiece. Mm-hmm. We stood in line for about an hour and a half. We stood online for about an hour and a half, and we got an eighth apiece, totaled out to like $69, $68. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, tax, 23% tax. There was a bunch of tax and everything, which was cool. Wow. And the rec market is alive and well in Massachusetts.
So what do they have that we don't have?
How's the selection?
The selection was mids. I'm not
mids, they have, like, is it similar to what we have?
I went on Leafly. And it's very similar to everything that we have. They are just another retail grower, retail
but
outlet.
But don't they have gummies and stuff? So that's what I'm asking.
Oh, yes. They have full edibles.
Because we don't have gummies here in Connecticut. We don't have drinks here in
Connecticut. They had drinks. There was a cooler with THC products. They had clones. They had some seeds.
Oh, really?
They had in-house genetics.
No.
So that they charged a premium for their in-house genetics. And all the strains were their own strains.
Now, which one was this, Netta or the other one?
We went to Cultivate.
Cultivate, okay.
Yes.
Cultivate.
And it's right on the border.
That's the
it's
one. Right by that's Enfield. The one they're watching.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, did you see a lot of police presence?
There was police presence. There was definitely police presence.
Yes.
And did you see that the state
on the
police
highway.
Put out that...
I did see that. I saw that on your page.
Freedom ain't free.
Freedom is not free because they were right on that highway at every border crossing. And, you know, I'm driving up there with Ashley and he's like, bro, there's a lot of cops out. I said, rec sales started yesterday. They're looking for the people that are looking to bring things back.
Yeah. Right.
So that's why it was just an eighth. I get up there and
roll that right up in one ball.
Yeah, that's all we did. You know, we were going to hang out because he had a flight that was going out to Columbia for that.
You flew out of Logan.
So he flew out of Logan. And because Worcester has that lounge, we kind of just
hung out
right up the highway. And Exactly what cannabis tourism is and should be.
Yeah, but shout out to Massachusetts for implementing a program, trying to be thoughtful about it. Yep. I know it has its problems, but look, you know, hey, they're going to make money that Connecticut is missing out on.
$440,000.
Look at that.
In one day.
Wow.
$440,000 in one day in total sales of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts.
In a day and a half.
And then they say that we're not going to make, what did they say? Estimate we'd make the first year?
$550 million. Now, remember, not only a piece of that, $500 million they said in the first year.
It's going to be double that, triple that, maybe.
Remember, only a piece of that goes to the government. Well, so let's gross.
Get this one. That's gross.
Yes.
So that's
not
the
tax revenue.
That's not taxed either, right?
That's the taxed amount.
Yeah, remember, the sales amount is separate than the taxed amount.
No, they put it all together. Yeah. So the piece of that's going to
a
the
big
state.
Piece, 20
yeah,
something
they should
percent.
Be happy.
20 something percent is going.
I'm
that's
sure
a
they
big
are.
Piece.
I'm sure they are. $440,000.
They saw at least $250,000.
Wow.
Roughly 201,000. So the one in Netta saw 2,000 customers. Cultivate saw 1,000. So that's 3,000 customers total for a total of $440,011.
So now think of it this way.
Wow.
That's only because only two opened up on the same on the opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What would have happened if it was like 10. Yeah.
10,000 different products.
Yeah.
10,784 marijuana products from the two shops.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, this is why Mr. Governor Ned Lamont came out last week and with a press conference.
Yep.
I mean, it was after our show last week. He had a press conference where he came right out and said, legalizing marijuana is one of his priorities in 2019. Mm-hmm. The Senate president also, Martin Looney, said it would be pointless to keep cannabis illegal when the neighboring states are ending prohibition. Lawmakers say both parties
mm-hmm.
say legalization is likely in 2019. Both parties.
Wow.
That's Republican and Democrat.
This is bipartisan.
So this is Connecticut. Well, of course. I mean, the one thing about Ned Lamont, I think he didn't have all the political, that Malloy has. And he doesn't seem like as much of a French, a dick.
As Dan
Malloy was. Okay. He seems nicer, at least. So we probably won't get all those snarky remarks and all that nastiness up there with him. We probably will get taxes. I don't know about tolls and all that, but it seems like he's really behind legalization. And in his press conference, he did say he wants to model it after Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the black market shouldn't be taking all the money. So it seems like he's behind it. So I really think we have a shot at getting decent legalization here if we stay on them.
Hashtag Ned Lamont. Hashtag Latino right here.
Hashtag grow rights.
Hashtag grow rights. But Latino, because I saw that also they are looking for a very strong Latino presence.
Here we go. That's right. What we have right here. We have the entire
for strong Latino presence in what?
In the cannabis industry in Connecticut?
In the industry,
not even the industry, just in government. There's just not enough Latinos represented in government.
There you go.
You know?
Now just wanting people to be direct, know what they're looking out for.
Yeah.
So government, so we need people to step up
because,
for elected officials.
You know, there's a huge push for our people of color to step up, and there's just not enough Latinos taking that charge.
Mm.
So the opportunity is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we don't.
And you've got
we
some
just don't
great
do
leaders right now who can, you know, I'm sure be happy to.
Yeah, and
mentor
that's
some people
what
like
that was
Ava,
the point of it.
You
that
know,
was,
like Will DeLeese,
yeah,
Bermudez.
They came out and they said that that's what they're
right.
starting up.
Juan
like
Candelario.
Juan Candelario.
A mentoring program and kind of helping out the Latino voice a little bit, you know? Because
very nice.
Sometimes it does feel undershadowing sometimes.
Absolutely.
As,
and we do have one of the largest Puerto Rican citizens in this country.
Yes, we do.
Bridgeport area has one of the largest contingencies.
New London is a large contingent as well.
And I do believe, I think Connecticut government, and I'm hoping they are starting to realize this is not the state it used to be, the whitewashed rich people state. This is a diverse state now. There is a lot of people of many different ethnicities, mm-hmm. races and colors in this state who need to be represented in government who haven't been thus far. Yeah, well, honestly.
I also, that's partially our fault too. As people of color, not stepping up and taking these leadership positions.
And they are now.
And that comes from I apologize, Joe, but that also comes from growing up in New York City, we always had that joke. Who's moving out the city? And how far up are you moving? Mm-hmm. Because Yonkers was, you get in there. But if you move to Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, you're there. Yeah.
We're talking 20 years ago and, you know, people moving out of the neighborhood. Oh, we're moving up to Bridgeport. Wow, that's Connecticut. You bougie.
Right, right. No, I get that.
Little did they know they were moving straight to the hood.
Little did I know they were moving right back into another hood.
Right, but it's just a Connecticut hood, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that idea. Now it shift because even there, these are also people of color taking, buying great homes. Now they're affluent in their community. And
absolutely.
Communities are now being integrated with solely on the color green, not even on the color black, white, or yellow.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's green. More people of color getting education, purchasing homes in nicer areas. They're being diversified.
Right. Now it's time that we take up our
evolution.
It has to be.
You know, and I'm getting texted. So we know our caller's calling in very shortly.
Okay. Oh, the caller's in right now.
Is that next evolution?
Has to be.
And I'm getting texted.
So here we are again in the Matrix.
Ooh. Lou, is your radio up? Turn your radio down if you've got that going.
Has to be.
And I'm getting texted.
Here we are again in the Matrix.
Oh, look, the Matrix is over.
Are we okay?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, right. What's going on, everybody?
Whoa. How you doing?
Joe, you're a magic man.
Tuning in.
That's good.
Really appreciating you guys, putting those topics out there. Talk about, the legislation that's happening, the movement in mass, medical stuff, dealing with minorities within the cannabis industry. Make sure that, it's actually,
equitable.
That's incredible. Accounted for that it's there. I was actually looking at some numbers in Colorado, and as far as even still involvement, or even still just on like the arrest side, on Caucasian arrests has actually gone down 8%, but Latinos has gone down 28%, and African American has gone up like 58% as far as arrests.
Yeah, because where'd we
and
start from?
It's ridiculous. It ends up being that lack of involvement on all sides, not just government, but also on the business side as well.
Mm-hmm. We got more people of color owning businesses. That's what we need.
It's so funny to me. Like I'll go live or post or show like a conference or something, and I will say like I do get decent support. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I see people go live and be talking about foolishness, and they get thousands of people. And I'm like, here it is. Yeah. We're talking about entry into a billion-dollar industry that we if you hang with us, if you learn with us, if you grow with us, if you support us and advocate with us, you could actually partake in it. And they just don't pay attention. Right. You know, I mean, yep. I guess we got to have a fight. We got to go live, have a fight, and then throw some cannabis
stuff on the end.
We got to be drama.
Where Bad Barbie at? Where's the catch me outside girl?
I know, right? Something. We need a...
Well, I think here, in Connecticut at least, it's been a long time coming. I mean, I think here we feel like the lost little island of New England. And, now we finally, looks like we're going to get our chance.
I think so, Joe.
And you're going to see people around trying to score you for their spot, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you...
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the thing is...
That's something...
Go ahead.
That's something, too, that, we all have to actually be, very attentive of, is that we are... reaching for legalization with our arms wide open, regardless of what's actually being thrown at us. And a lot of the, even big organizations, I'm not going to say any names, don't care how it's legalized.
Yeah,
it's like legalize it now and it will fix the problem.
No,
could end up being years before it's actually fixed. Mm-hmm. So I want, people to do it with their eyes open. when they actually start thinking about all this stuff.
Oh, I've been saying repeatedly, mm-hmm. like, I don't think we're ready to enact legalization here because we haven't even started having the conversations that are necessary to be had in advance of this, like, about how we're going to lay this mm-hmm. out. You know, grow rights haven't come up. Like, are we going to have lounges? Are we going to make, are we going to do
small licenses,
smaller licenses, more affordable mm-hmm. licenses, cooperatives? Like, what exactly this is all going to look like to make sure everybody has a chance to participate. I believe that Connecticut's goal is to have a, you know, monopoly industry where nobody really can get in except for a few people. And that's their goal in general, or what they have in mind, you know, and I think that it's necessary for us to change that.
It's what they did with our medical program.
Right. I think they plan on doing the same thing.
That's something that I definitely have been advocating much heavier nowadays than I used to, and that's not allowing dispensaries to automatically turnkey and go into rec, because that's a lot of them. You start talking about the people that are just investing just because it's an investment to them and not really thinking about it on the medical side. And that's what they're hoping, that they pay their dues during the medical side. Once it comes rec, like you, Joe, was just talking about the, you know, $440,000 between only two retail shops, too.
Right.
This is what they're hoping for. And in my opinion, I believe that the medical side is much more important than the recreational side, as far as data and as far as for wellness and well-being of anybody that's actually using it for medical reasons. And I do not believe that if you're medical, that you should automatically be given a pass to do rec. I think if you're medical, you should need to stay medical, because it's just as important, if not more so, because you're dealing with people's well-being.
Health and well-being,
and we talk about how much money was made on the between the two recreational storefronts. How much money was lost on the umpteen amount of medicinal dispensaries they have?
Because they were two, aren't these combos? Didn't they have a medical side and a rec side? Nita did, right. Because they were originally a medical dispensary.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at my dispensary.
Because there's other dispensaries open.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But they're medical.
Yes.
I look at my dispensary.
Not everybody can get in.
Exactly.
I look at my dispensary, and it looks to me like they're already set up for rec.
Oh, yeah.
To have two sides.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're hoping. This is up to us to make, to deny them that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to deny them that. We want our medical program to grow and expand and treat patients and maybe, you know, have a differentiate in medicines, maybe stronger medicines, maybe, you know, different more medicinal type products.
Yeah.
More and then capsules, have a separate more capsules, more strong, mm-hmm. you know, RSO type stuff. And then
more information.
And not taxed. Right? Not taxed.
Correct.
More information.
Well, no, I think you should still be minimalized tax, because we also don't want people to get into the medical side.
Oh, just so they could get tax-free weed. You
know, free cash, no tax.
This is true.
But the patients, that's who I'm thinking about. I'm just thinking about the patients.
Because it should be something.
I'm waiting for the first church of cannabis.
Anything crazy, but, you know, fairly decent.
Right.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure this happens, and this is the point. I mean, I know the legislative session starts in early January with mm-hmm. the inauguration day. That's the big kickoff, and I think right from the start, we have to be right in their face about what really we see legalization as being, and we have to have a unified front on that, which I believe here in Connecticut we do. I think all the advocates here agree that we want grow rights, first of all, here, and I think everybody who's an advocate or an activist here can agree on that point. I haven't seen anybody say no grow rights for Connecticut. As that wasn't a lawmaker.
let me ask you guys something. I want to get all you guys' answers on this. Now, let's say we taxed the medical side. What if those tax dollars actually went into that money went to research? To actually, just like Israel does in their universities, where they're actually putting that money to actually get to know more about either hemp or the, you know, cannabis, both sides, both the molecule, not just that, but all the other cannabinoids as well. Put the tax dollars to really good use.
Oh, that's definitely something that is actually a part of our program now. So when
it's supposed to be part of our program now, using the fees that they get from the people, but it sounds like that's all going to salaries.
But research is definitely necessary. Yeah.
And we're one of the few states that has moved it to Schedule II, so we can do research here.
Right.
Apparently, there's some big research program going on at St. Francis Hospital. I have not heard the results of it yet. But it was an opioids and pain study using cannabis. But I agree with you. The only thing I wouldn't like to see is the big excise tax that they're going to throw on to recreational in addition to the sales tax. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what did you say in Mass? It was a total of 26% between the excise and the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be looking at that here.
Yeah.
But I think that's.
That's fair for rec.
Yeah, fair for rec. Across not the board, for, usually.
But not for medical. What were you thinking of with the tax rate?
For
medical, if you were to tax medical.
Yeah, for rec, there's a lot of models out there. It's something that I did automatically pick up with what we're learning with seeing with Massachusetts is that there needs to be oversight if you end up putting it more on the towns and cities because you kind of get what's happening now. So you're hearing some weird tales. The CCC could be potentially getting sued because they're not double checking the community health. The CHAs or CEO. The letter from the community saying, okay, and they're kind of like it almost blackmailist type of situation where the towns have no book, no guidelines, no anything to kind of like, be able to vet some of these potential applicants. There needs to be a little bit more, in between the towns and cities have more power than the state, but the state also allowing having more guidelines for these towns and cities. Something that Michigan has done as well is pretty. Is, now we're starting to get to like that, but what Michigan is doing is pretty good as well.
What are they doing, Lou?
They're keeping all their licenses pretty relatively low. They're not, leaving it too much. It's all kind of like statewide, kind of like what Colorado did, but they already have like guidelines and everything preset before when they legalized.
Right.
It wasn't like, all right, we legalized and now let's set the rules.
Well, they've been planning for legalization in Michigan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan doesn't have like equal opportunity laws and stuff like that. So that's why it's necessary for them to just keep everything low across the board to make sure everyone has access.
It's kind of one of those free for all markets. If you go out there was medicinal spots, kind of like liquor stores everywhere, which is nice.
And they were allowed to grow up to 70 plants.
Yeah, as a private entity, which was awesome because they didn't.
This is where it's great to have that
micro business
open market, right?
Right.
It pushes innovation. It also ends up taking a whole bunch of property. That means property tax dollars. That means great for the cities and towns. That also means hiring way, way, way more people than any big million-dollar facility could possibly end up actually hiring.
Yep.
This is why to copy something like that and not allow within Connecticut only the rich to actually play.
Well, this is what we really have to watch out for.
And we're so thankful, to get insight from other people in state from other states like you. And Shalene Title has agreed to come down and kind of help talk to us about setting up the model. So we're going to be meeting with her December 20th, I think,
That's awesome.
And so we're trying to make sure that we get the right information to legislators, but one or two voices isn't really enough. Make a difference. We need the people involved in first of all knowledgeable about what's going on,
right?
Knowledgeable about what's happening in other states and involved in advocating for what would work for Connecticut, because we could take a little bit of Michigan and a little bit of Massachusetts and a little bit of Cali and roll it all up into one and come up with a good program,
right? If they take their time and do it, my fear is they're going to rush it through try and convert those medical into rec and do that whole thing, and that's my word.
It's not going to be amazing.
And then we'll work on it after that.
That's the playbook to keep us out.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what they did with the medical thing. They priced us out.
Oh, they said right away, non-starter, no grow rights. Don't even ask for them.
Right.
If you ask for grow rights, you won't even get medical. So it's like,
yeah.
So yeah, they could.
This is what I mean about the same thing with the rec, seeking rec and not caring what the rules are.
Right. Which did happen in California. I mean, if you know, they were so anxious to legalize it out there, and their legalization is not going too well. It's overpriced. People are getting shut out of licenses. People who've been in business for years are getting now arrested and thrown in jail. So they cut a lot of people, and because they overpriced the licenses and cut a bunch of people out. So, and, you know, their public consumption laws are outrageously strict. They really did make a very strict form of legalization when the plan they already had in place was pretty simple and was working fine. So we have to watch that here. You know, we don't want just another repeat of the medical program, except called rec and more expensive. Yeah. You know,
and keep medical. Sorry,
keep medical. Keep that's right.
You're gonna have to start all over and start at the bottom of the list, like everybody else.
And we really, you know, this is important. So December 6th is when Michigan starts. So, like I said, they've been playing this for a while and getting ready for it. So they're starting right on the 6th. Another week from now, Michigan will be another state that's up and running. So that's a good thing. And Vermont expects to have it by January. Their retail sales bill finalized. New York, I know New Jersey is having a hearing on it today.
It was earlier today.
Yes, today had a hearing on legalization. So, I mean,
Leo was there.
Yep, this is happening. And a good news on the federal front, Chuck Grassley, who has been holding up all votes on cannabis for the last however many years he's been in, stepped down as chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So now federal votes on cannabis may actually be able to get voted on. So that's nice. And it looks like, you know, the more action we get on the federal level, obviously the better it is, you know, for us, as long as they don't stick it to Schedule 2.
Let me ask you, Joe, you seem to be following these bills quite closely. What do you hear about, I know Mitch McConnell was supposed to be pushing something with the hemp industry to help out farmers and all that stuff.
Farm bill's ready to go, ready to be signed.
Yes, it is.
There is one clause in it that the Democrats and Republicans are having a conflict over, which has nothing to do with hemp. Apparently, the food stamp program goes under the farm bill in the Agriculture Department. What the Republicans are trying to do is put in a work clause for people to get food stamps, that you need to work part-time in order to get food stamps.
And they were just working out the wording in it. That's all they were really doing. And so this last past week, they worked that out. So at the end of last week, they worked out a lot of that information, and they moved it forward a little bit.
So what did they do?
They say they're going to sign it by the end of the year.
So but they implemented that work?
They're implementing the word now. They're implementing their wording that they're agreeing upon, and then it's supposed to be moved forward for signing within the next week or two. So that's a huge...
That's a little slippery slope. That's not too far from slavery.
Right.
Well, it is a slippery slope.
It's a super slippery slope.
Kind of like that, but to say you end up, you owe a lot. You ate a lot of food. You fat. You owe us a lot of money. You owe us like 5 years worth of free work. Get to it.
What they're saying is they feel... The Republicans, of course, put this in, feel like people who are collecting welfare or unemployment should be able to cover their food. And if they want food stamps to work part-time.
Corporate welfare should be able to cover with their own profits that they got.
But look, we all know there's tons of food available in this country. We know the deal. We even know who funds the food stamp program. People like J.P. Morgan end up making money off of that. It's
disgusting.
Yeah.
And the reason why they brought that up is because some states already have that in place.
Yeah.
You know, New York State has that in place already.
Where you have to have a part-time job.
You have a time limit and there a requirement to at least be looking for work.
Exactly. So you have to put paperwork in. It's not necessarily where they say you have to get a job. You have to show that you're trying to work, you know. And those programs are in place now. They're audited. You know, maybe not as closely as they probably should, but those programs in place. You always see that one guy who's got unemployment. He's got to run around looking for signatures on a paper to show that he was looking for work. You know what I mean?
It's, yep.
I mean, yeah, and we,
I think they're just that. Trying to make it a federal thing instead of just, state by state.
I mean, and truth be told, if you're out here listening and you're relying on food stamps or cash assistance or Medicaid, now's the time to start thinking about
a new career,
right, being an entrepreneur. This is a great wide open lane for people who have never, ever thought about entrepreneurship can think about it now. Right.
They can instantly start thinking about it.
As a matter of fact, I just read an article and I brought it up. Wait.
But we had a couple of questions. Somebody was asking about cannabis stocks. Can anybody speak to that?
You know,
I mean, somebody asked. We got to answer the question.
Though. I don't have any that I recommend.
What I would say is get into the Canadian stock market and you can go from there. Yeah. That's the safest.
I tell everybody go to Canada stock. Canadian stock market.
The only reason you want to go towards the Canada stock market is because they have their government's backing.
Federal legalization.
Backing for government, for banking and all that stuff. That's why it's like that. But the one thing that I have understood over the years that I talked to a stock expert or dealing with economy, GDPs, all that stuff, is that over the years, Canada has started been the forefront of new industries, but they don't know how to keep it. It has to deal with the culture. They're not as more capitalist thinking and aggressive as America.
As we are,
America becomes legal, those stocks are going to overtake the Canadian stocks. But as for now, it's only the Canadian stocks because our government is all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, there's a few out there. I know there's Aurora Cannabis.
Tilray, I heard, just kind of lost.
They lost.
They had a big
loss. That's the thing. They're still a little volatile over there.
Because that was like the top one. There were like five that were in the and Tilray
Canopy,
was number one.
Aurora, Tilray, and now Curaleaf went public, and that didn't even go that great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
not
hesitant.
That great. It's still $4 billion,
right? But you know what I'm saying. Fine, okay. By industry standards, it didn't go that great. It's just so volatile right now. I'm hesitant to recommend anything. You know, I know High Times is doing an IPO,
too.
Oh, yeah,
I did see the High Times IPO.
So there are...
The stock market is always going to be volatile in some shape or form. I mean, last week, I think the tech industry lost like $1 trillion. Like, Facebook, everybody went down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, close to $1 trillion like of net stock lost, just like that.
I think the cannabis industry is only at its infancy in the stock market, realistically. Oh, yeah. Because like you said, Lou, the American companies haven't even really come online yet. And once they do,
So Cameron, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lou. Thanks for reminding
me. Let's pay some bills,
Joe. Lou, thank you. You got to keep me on point there. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com. New Haven Independent, or just go to your Facebook page and look us up.
All right. So, Joe, I would hate to, I'm going to jump in. As we go in there, we got Lou on for a reason, actually.
Oh, yeah. This is why we brought Lou. Thank you, Lou. You got to keep
it. It was a great conversation. Don't get me wrong.
Let's go, Lou. There's two events, I think, that you guys are working on. Lou is working on. Tell us about it. One in February, one is March, or have you combined the two events, or is it both?
So, we got a... So as we all know, our friend Lupino hosts a variety of cannabis-based style expos and events. So we brought Lou on today to tell us about his next endeavor right after his Gene Traders event is the Farming Hemp Expo.
Mm-mm.
So Lou, I have here in front of me the website that anybody can actually jump right on, farminghempexpo.com. And as they get right there, it says Connecting Hemp with People. Scroll down. The Farming Hemp Expo provides a platform where the hemp industry leaders and innovators can showcase the best that the hemp industry has to offer. We are proud to bring this platform to the East Coast New England region. With so many states in the area that have either started their own hemp industry or moving towards and opening a hemp industry, makes the Farming Hemp Expo a great platform to provide the early needs of a blossoming industry. March 9th, 2019, the Farming Hemp Expo will be holding an event at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford, Connecticut. For more information, please contact us, and we'll be happy to talk hemp. So, Lou, t- talk to us a little bit about this event now with, as we talked about, the hemp bill moving forward. Industrial hemp.
Should be signed by then.
Should be signed by then, definitely. And,
well, Connecticut should have some kind of movement going on as far as our hemp, because, I mean, Lou, you know it's legal here.
Yeah.
I could grow it right now. I just can't make CBD out of it.
That's right. You can weave a t-shirt out of it. You can make plastic
protein
out of it.
Protein powder, oil,
you can make protein powder. It's
take
so
a bath,
that you can take a hemp. Exactly.
Everything but extract CBD. But anyway, back to the event. Tell us a little bit about it.
As long as it's not CBD, exactly.
Well, what are we going to be doing at this event? Who's it for? Who's coming?
Well, so the farming, like, part of, you know, our parent company, Terps and Trikes, dealing with events is also to kind of see how the market's going to end up being shaping in the next year, 2 years. So we recognize that there's two things going to end up being, of course, with gene traders dealing with, you know, genetics and cultivation for the regular THC side, as far as dealing with things that could inebriate you. Not crazy like alcohol or anything like that, but, you know,
psychoactive.
That's a be more of cultivation, a lot of information for people that would like to cultivate. It's a regional event, but the hemp industry ends up being a little bit more about textile and obviously more hemp and all the uses that you can end up actually making out of hemp, from, you know, simple paper that, you know, a tree could end up taking 20 years versus a hemp plant takes 4 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, throwing those numbers and putting those information together and putting the history together. And you say, like Uncle Lou said, you know, about connecting people with hemp and also reconnecting the government with hemp and our old, you know, putting all that stuff together and really showing the people, especially Connecticut coming up, you know, being in such a central area between New York, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, to being that central hub to actually push out for, you know, dealing with the hemp industry and showing everybody what is possible. There's so much possible out of hemp. And that's just on the textile. This still doesn't even include the health and wellness side,
right,
which deals more with the CBD side and, you know, just
hemp oil, protein powders.
Fiber,
yeah.
You know, a leaf has more than kelp, more than almost anything else. All the usefulness that you can get out of the hemp side, which ends up being now currently Schedule 5, with nationwide, which is awesome. And, you know, just too many possibilities. I'm exploding with excitement, I guess.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I could see a big tie-in with the Farmers Bureau here.
Yep.
In Connecticut, we have a lot of old farms here that are not being used, that used to be used for tobacco, that are no longer being used, that could easily be used for hemp.
Yep.
Correct.
I know you're probably going to get a hold of John Dvorak, the cannabis curriculum, the hempologist.
That's right.
Do you see this being more of an educational event or something like an expo like NECAN? Or is it more like where people are going to come and learn about hemp? Or is it, you know what I'm trying to say, or more of a buying type of deal?
All of the above.
Okay. So people who are
the part. So in order to people to actually to for farmers, right? One of the biggest people that we are obviously going to be pushing out to is farmers, because
right.
Dealing with the tariffs on soy and also that decline of tobacco as far as use has left a lot of farmers in Connecticut without anything to actually farm. So that means
right.
That they're struggling just to make ends meet, to make a living. Which is sad, considering they're farmers. I mean, they bring life. They provide food. They provide so much. And for them to be struggling is...
Well, they want it.
It's sad, I think.
They want it. But yes. They're behind it. They do want it here.
They are, because most of the times, most farmers don't care too much of what they're growing. Obviously, they're not breaking the law, and that it's going to make them a good living. If they end up being cows, it's cows. If it's corn, it's corn. If it's soy, it's soy.
Right.
So they just keep jumping from one thing to another as far as just to survive and make a living. And I think with hemp and with so many different types of uses for it, kind of like, you know, it would give them a broader industry in so many different ways. They can end up selling their things to make sneakers, and a farm next to them can end up making it to be part of a car. And it's so vast. That
we could have a very robust hemp industry here.
I think the American farmer could definitely, you know, benefit from this for years to come.
I agree.
I agree with you with that. And the bigger, I think the easiest way to say what this event will be is the farmer can come with the next generation that they're going to leave this farm to, listen to a speaker from an already farmer from a neighboring state, because ideally we'll have some farmers down from Vermont and farmers from Ohio and Kentucky that are already farming hemp for food, for protein, will have an educational circuit with farmers who are making protein powder out of the hemp seed, farmers that are making cold-pressed oil, farmers that are making textiles. And then at that same time, after you hear that speech, you can go out to the expo floor and meet the salesperson that's going to sell you the combine equipment that's going to go into that.
Right.
You know, because of this, this is like if you're farming corn, you have a combine.
It's a real farm.
You know, if you're farming hemp, you're going to need a combine to harvest that 3,000 pounds per acre.
I feel like the only way to really take advantage of hemp is to have a large farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
100%. It should be a 2-3 acre. Go at it. Yeah. You're talking 15,000 pounds of industrial hemp, you know.
And that's the way to do it. I really believe Connecticut with a robust hemp industry and then a well done recreation industry could be thriving again. Could be a thriving state again, not only agriculturally, but business-wise.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, which is what we've always been known for. And it's time to bring back the money into the state.
The government knows the value of it. They've known it for a long time. That's why even after they legalized it, even after they made it illegal with the Marijuana Tax Act, they made it legal during World War II
because
we
needed
it. A supply of our hemp was in Japan, but we were on war with Japan, so we started growing it. But once the war was over, they made it illegal again. But they know, the government full knows how valuable this crop is to America.
Yeah, and the way things are going, we could use it again for another war.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So what was that website again?
Lou, tell us how to get in touch with both your events, the Gene Traders and the 9th.
So the Gene Traders is going to be gene-traders.com. That's going to deal with cultivators and genetics and learn how not just for the person that wants to do something for themselves, but also the big medical cultivators. Because it doesn't matter who you are, learning new ways. Because this is still a burgeoning industry, a blossoming industry. So there's new techniques and new trends that are happening today to make you have a better product. That's the Gene Traders and the hemp, the farminghempexpo.com. That one's going to be, of course, about what we were just talking about in textiles, hemp oil, wellness, education, and all that is possible with hemp. I mean, so many different uses. 10,000-year-old crop. There are a lot of uses for it.
That's right. Excellent, excellent. All right, so that's where people can get in touch with you, and the dates are February the
17th for Gene Traders and March 9th. For the Farming Hemp Expo 2019. So we're going to start, Connecticut's going to start the year off great with a lot of great information, and we're going to bring a lot of people from around the country so people can ask firsthand, talk to these people. And we're going to keep it, unlike some expos tend to be a little pricey, we're going to keep it fairly priced, so make sure everybody can get in and get all this great information.
Nice.
Really talk to the leaders and innovators of the industry. That's why I was happy to, partner up with Uncle Lou for the Farming Hemp Expo to really push this, because he's heavy on the CBD side as far as really advocating for everything and all the benefits that it has. So I'm really happy about this partnership.
Very nice. Yeah, and we're looking forward to it. It's very exciting.
Thank you guys for bringing that here.
It's a big family, all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, very nice.
We're going to steal Kiba. She doesn't know, but she's talking.
Use me as you like.
I'm always listening to you guys. I really appreciate what you guys are doing all the time. I'm happy. I'm beyond honored that, this is my second time on with you guys. Mm-hmm. I really am. Thank you very much.
Thank
we'll
you.
Have you on again before the events, for sure.
For sure.
All right, sir.
I appreciate it, for sure.
Take care, Lou.
Thank you.
Did he say how to find
All him? Right, people. Yep. I love you guys.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
We love you too, man. Hopefully we'll see you at the normal fundraiser.
Yes, sir. So tell us about this normal fundraiser.
I'm going to go over all the events for the next month.
Okay.
We got November 28th. That's this Wednesday, the regular meeting at the Rough Draft in Hamden. That's at 7 o'clock. We were going to be talking about the fundraiser.
Yes.
And the entertainment. And we just got some new little pins. And we're going to debut our normal t-shirts that night.
Ooh.
They're coming in.
So are we going to talk about the party? Because the party's going to be lit.
Yeah. December the 5th, the MMP discussion group at Bohemian High. December the 8th, the infused holiday cooking over at 178 Temple Street. That's at 10 a.m. And then on December 20th, now we talk about the normal fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we are having the normal fundraiser this year at Terminal 110 from 7 to 11 p.m. on December the 20th.
Yep.
It is a $10 admission with a toy. $15 without a toy, but we help most people bring a toy. We are going to have vendors there. I've already got a few confirmed. Bohemian High is going to vend. Ricky D. U.S. Hemp Care is going to vend. So we've got a few people coming in. Paint and Toke. Present Naturals is going to vend. Kebra's going to have a table there.
Her beautiful table right there.
Yep. And we're looking for sponsors. It's a very reasonable price if anybody wants to vend their products. So they can get in touch with us through the Facebook page or Connecticut Normal. Just get in touch with the Connecticut Normal Facebook page.
And it all goes to a great cause. That's the best thing about
this
it.
This is how we're going to go up next year and get this legalization through.
It goes to a great cause. It's not going to somebody's pocket. It's not like you're paying a vendor's table for somebody's room or something. This is literally going right to the cause.
There's
going to
be some great CBD products there. Last minute gifts for Christmas.
Great.
Some we're going to do cannabis karaoke with DJ Teriyaki.
I love it.
And some stand up comedians, I believe.
I'm going to host. I'm going to be singing all night long.
Kira's going to host the karaoke spot.
No, I won't do that to y'all, but I will sing a couple of hot tunes of mine.
Great food. We got a nice buffet meal catered. We're picking out the menu actually tomorrow night. We're going to pick out the menu and finalize it. And probably some stand-up comedians. I'm working on a couple of that in between the karaoke.
Have people come up, talk, do a little jokey joke. Nice.
And we're still looking for a speaker, correct? We wanted to have a keynote. I guess we'll discuss that tomorrow night.
You guys will
figure out who we have. Maybe
out.
Jonathan Harris will butter him up a little.
Jonathan.
I would like to get Jonathan on the show.
He's a good guy.
Jonathan.
Yeah. Because
he was on our show before, right?
Yes, he was. And he was at our expo. And we'd love to have him on again to see what's going on with marijuana legalization and him and Ned Lamont.
Harry, how many episodes have we done?
A lot.
A lot. We might have to research this.
I don't remember how long we've been on the air, but it's
maybe
not 25
weeks. Every other week for
maybe 25 episodes, maybe 20 episodes.
We'll see.
Two into every week.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to check it out.
I know, because we should
by
have
the end
some
of the
sort
year.
Of celebration.
Yeah, we will. We'll celebrate right there at the Now, shout out to Ricky D. I talked to him today, and we're getting kicked off the air. Shout out to George Zito.
I didn't even talk about Canna Health.
Talk about it. Quick.
We
music
are
playing.
Open in Hartford now, but we are still in New Haven. So come through in Hartford, 57 Pratt Street, Suite 405, Mondays, Wednesdays, 2 to 6, and Saturdays, 10 to 2 in New Haven. Tuesdays, Fridays now, it's a new day, 2 to 6, and Saturdays, 10 to 2, 178 Temple Street, Suite 33. Come on, get your card.
Get your card
Pick
while
up
you
some
still
present
can.
Naturals yep. there as
That's
well.
Right.
Get your card while you still can.
Right.
If you want grow
We'll
rights.
See you next week.
Oh, and we're having a toy drive.
Toy
drive. That's drop right. Them drop them off
toy
at
drive.
The offices.
Toy drive.
Toy drive.
All right.
Pat, stay happy, healthy, and high, guys.
See y'all next week.
I'm in Cali every week. I go hard. Growing said he got sour, need that whole yard. I'm chasing turkey bag, I'm chasing gold yard. Tell the dime we won't go far. Blue sherbet stuff the whole jar. 100 P's on the Bay Bridge, stuck in traffic. If I ever run into Riri, let's make magic. Die doing something you love, it ain't tragic. Heard what I said, nigga, it ain't tragic. From the home of lay down, smoking ratchets. Never win when you spell it backwards. I got green in the bay, my whole team Packers. Told the plug I need 100 P's. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 P's. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. Told the plug.